This is one of my favorite stories in Scripture. We're going to be reading the first 13 verses of Acts chapter 2. When the day of Pentecost came. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. And suddenly the sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the entire house where they were sitting. And they saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. And all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now they were staying in Jerusalem, God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. And when they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in our native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt and parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues." Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them and said, "They have had too much wine." The word of God for the people of God. You may be seated. I've always had a knack, a really annoying knack, to guess gifts that have been bought for me. Whether it's from a family member, whether it's from a coworker or a friend or something like that, I've always just kind of been able to sort of look at it and know exactly what it is that somebody bought me. Early on in Julie and I's relationship, this got really annoying for her. I guessed kind of CDs that she got me. I guessed movies that she got me. I mean, even the big gifts that she got me. I just knew right off the top of my head what it was that she got me. So she came up with a rule that if I guessed the gift, I couldn't get it. So if I knew what it was or if I thought what it was, I better just stay quiet and just kind of hope that she didn't find out, right? But every now and again, I get surprised. And she's gotten better at surprising me kind of over the years. And other people have gotten kind of better at surprising me. Or maybe I'm just kind of losing my knack. But every now and again, a gift kind of catches me unaware and just kind of astonishes me what somebody can do or how far somebody will go to get you just the perfect gift sometimes. So when I came into my office this week, there was a gift bag on my desk. And it was addressed to me in a certain way that made me think that it was from people that know me in a certain role. But I think that was just to mislead me. I'm pretty sure that it's somebody in this room that got me this gift. And I don't know who it is, and it has bewildered me. It has confused me, and it has kind of stuck in my mind all week trying to figure out who got this for me. So if you're in here, thank you. What it is a small little plaque that says, "I saw that, God." Now, I don't know what that's referring to. So we're kind of in like a wide spectrum here about what this is talking about, right? But I'm going to choose that this is a good thing. And what was astonishing to me about it, as bewildered as I was about who got it for me, is this was exactly what I needed to hear in the moment. This has been a very long week. It's been a very difficult week. This is one of those weeks where I'm sure y'all have had it as well, where you have to be in at least three places at once. Whether it's a kindergarten graduation or whether it's a work engagement or something going on with a family or you got to do something personal and fix the car, I did all those things this week. And I felt so bad that I couldn't be everything or be everywhere that I needed to be this week. And when I was probably at one of my most frustrated points, I opened this and saw this. And so it's kind of funny that I felt both bewildered and astounded by it. Because really, when you open gifts, a really good gift, you're astounded by it. You're kind of blown away by it. You really don't know what to say. And sort of the other side of that is when you open like a really bad gift, you're kind of bewildered by it. And so when you open the good gift, you're like, oh man, wow, I can't believe you got this for me. Thank you. But then when you open a bad gift, you're like, oh, wow, I can't believe you got me this. And you're sort of caught between this bewilderment and astoundment, depending on sort of how good or kind of how bad the gift is. So I'm kind of interested in kind of hearing from y'all about what is one of the best gifts that you've ever got. Man, your hand went up quick, JJ. You were ready. All right, what do you got? What's one of the best gifts you've got? Your what? Your Xbox. That's one of the best gifts I've ever got, man. I bought that one for myself. That's awesome, your Xbox. All right. What's another good gift? What's one of the best gifts that y'all have gotten? JJ, you got another one. Do what? Being adopted. Man, that's better than an Xbox. You're racking up, man. You're doing well, Maggie. Yeah. A wishbone necklace. Yeah. All right. You got to step up your game, John Mark. Just saying. She didn't say something from you, man. I'm just saying. I tried that excuse too. But like, happy Mother's Day. I gave you kids. Doesn't work, man. What's another good gift? What's another good gift that y'all got? Able to see your family after a long time, after 18 years. Yeah. Amen. That's awesome, Victor. Thank you. Thank you. I heard a spiritual one over here. Salvation. All right. There had to be one, man. I appreciate you holding down the camp. Thank you. Yeah. So now, what's one of the worst gifts you've ever got? No, I'm not really going to ask you that. Because you're probably sitting next to the person that got it for you. And you're like, no, baby, I love those towels. I'm serious. Don't listen to the preacher. I thought they were great. So no, but we're kind of caught between these good gifts and these bad gifts, right? What's so funny between this bewilderment and astoundment, this astonishment that we've read about and that we've thought about kind of these gifts, if you think about the scripture that we read today, when you think about this gift of the Holy Spirit that came at Pentecost, did you pay attention to some of the adjectives that were read in the scripture? It was funny because they're all over the map. They're kind of on both ends of the spectrum, right? That they were bewildered. They were confused. They were amazed. They were astonished. There's kind of this mixing of emotion about this gift that has come down. And what's so funny is what's happening in the disciples' life and what's happening in the streets of Jerusalem is just what Jesus told them was going to happen. And yet it's this moment that catches everybody so off guard. As Jesus told them about this gift. If we remember just last week, before Jesus went up to heaven, he literally told them, y'all, hang out in Jerusalem, and in the coming days, you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Be waiting for it. Watch out for it. Look for it. Be ready for it. He told them it was coming. And even before that, earlier on in the gospel, he told them that after he leaves, one will be coming after him. Sent by the Father as an advocate, as a helper, as one who would remind us of everything that Jesus did and everything that Jesus taught. So even if we, like the disciples, even if we weren't allowed to be like them, to be with him, that we would still know of everything that Jesus did for us. So Jesus kind of laid out the gift. He spoiled it for us. And yet, it caught the disciples and it caught Jerusalem completely by surprise. And as this came, this wind and this fire and these voices and these languages, what we hear kind of stirring up in this room is this chaos, this noise, this confusion, this bewilderment, this messiness that kind of begins to well up in the disciples and in this room where they've sort of hidden out in. And all of a sudden, this noise, these languages start bursting forth from them. And they each begin speaking in a different language, and they each begin going out into the street. And it says that all the Jews that were in Jerusalem began coming, to hear this noise, this chaos, this messiness, this kind of ringing that kind of lifted up. And they began to hear a voice, a story, and a word for each of them. As they began to hear their own language being spoken by the disciples. It's an incredible story of what happens in the life of the church. And it's this miracle that we have 2,000 years ago. But what's more miraculous than what happened 2,000 years ago is the fact that that fire and that flame is still burning. Is the fact that each and every one of us came here this morning because somebody told us the same thing the disciples told outside this room. Of the good deeds of God in their life. Of what God has done for them. The story of God's love. And that story has continued to move and to burn and begin to be carried by disciples and others just like us. And so last week, as the disciples sort of experienced for the first time what it was like to be disciples without Jesus right there, they now begin the work of the church. So Pentecost is 50 days after Easter. That's why we call it Penta. Pentecost. It's 50 days after Easter. And it's typically marked as the birthday of the church. And on this birthday, on our first birthday, God gave us the gift of the Holy Spirit. And said, y'all are going to want to hang on to this one. Because he's going to hang on to you. And it began the work of the church. And it's the work that we still continue today, and it's still the work that we carry with us today. Because the fact of the matter is we've seen stories about this, we've seen movies about it, we've read all sorts of things about what it means that they were speaking languages, what it means to see fire and the sound of this wind, or what was happening in that moment. And I can't tell you exactly what that sounded like or what it looked like. But what I can tell you is that you have a unique place in this story because Pentecost is where we come into the story of the Scriptures. It's where we tie ourselves into the church. It's where we were born into the work of doing God's kingdom as well. And it's where we find ourselves here today, moving with the Holy Spirit, with the fire and the flame and the spark that lives inside each of us to go and to tell the good works of God. And it is chaotic, and it is messy, and it is beautiful in the way that God has unfolded it. Because not only has he shown us that he can do things that are more powerful than we can imagine, but he has shown us that we can do things that are more powerful than we have imagined for ourselves as well. Because Pentecost is not just the day that the Holy Spirit came down for the disciples, for us. It's also the day where we introduce the Holy Spirit to the world. And that becomes the work that we still have here today. The bad news is that it's bewildering, that it's messy, that it's chaotic, that it's noisy, that it oftentimes makes no sense at all. And you know what that feeling feels like. When God catches you so unaware, God catches you so unprepared that you feel like everything is so lost and everything is so confusing and everything is so kind of pulled apart that nothing good can possibly come of it. And what in the world is God doing anyway? And yet with a few more steps, with a couple more days, with a little bit of perspective, oftentimes we get a little bit of space and distance to be able to look back on what that felt like and what God was doing. And instead of being confused and bewildered, sometimes we even feel astonished. We feel amazed. We feel overwhelmed by what God did through what we thought was unredeemable and has brought us to a good place. Because the good news is, it is astonishing what God can do through each and every one of us. There was nothing special about these disciples in the room. There was no special formula to their prayer. There was no certain way that they were kneeling. There was no certain thing that they ate that day. This is something that God gifted to them that was free. These are the same disciples that sank when they stepped out of the boat. It's the same disciples that denied Jesus when he was arrested. And they were the same disciples that scattered when he was killed. And it's these very ones that God is now anointing and baptizing and covering to ask to go continue to do his work in the world. They've got problems and issues like every single one of us. And the truth of the matter is whatever language they spoke that day reached somebody. And because there were so many in that crowd that became cynical, that tried to trample down, that tried to cover up what God was doing, they even accused the disciples of being drunk at 9 o'clock in the morning. Some people heard something that changed their lives. They were able to get past the rumors. They were able to get past the cynicism. They were able to get past all the other voices that were going around them, and they heard their language and a word of what God loved about them. And it says at the end of chapter 2 that over 3,000 people joined the disciples in their work. Over 3,000 were baptized and began moving. So hear this truth today, that you speak a language that somebody needs to hear. You have been through something in your life. You have been through a struggle. You have been through a tragedy. You have been through something in your life that somebody else needs to hear about and know that there is hope on the other side of. You speak the words that only some people in this world can hear. And your voice is so needed, because you carry the story of what God has done in your life that other people are so desperate to hear about. The struggles that you carry, the experiences that you've been through, that others may come to know the good deeds of God through those words. You are part of this Pentecost story. And so I want you to try something this week. I want you to have a Pentecost moment of your own. And if you're willing, one way that this might look like is to pray this week as the disciples kind of started off praying. Praying that you get a story of what to tell of God's love. Think about a moment where God showed you his love, where he did a deed or a work in your life that changed you in some way. Something that God did for you, some expression of God's love. And once God kind of helps you find that story and you work through it, I want you then to pray about somebody to tell it to. An opportunity that you can share the love of God with somebody else. Now, this moment might seem bewildering. It might seem confusing. It might seem awkward. It might seem messy at first. Because you're going to try to think of the perfect moment. You're going to try to think of the perfect person. You're going to try to think of all these things that make this ordered and great. And yet, that is not what Pentecost is about. Because God is going to put you into a situation where that story comes to your mind. And how we have an opportunity to share it. And as bewildered as you may be in the moment, I promise you that as you begin to speak it, as you begin to share what God has done for you, how the love of God has changed you, that I have a feeling that as you see that person can be changed before your eyes, as they hear the love of God for them, that you can be astonished at what God can do through just us. Will you bow your head with me as we pray? Almighty and precious God, you have chosen us. You have given us a Holy Spirit that we were unprepared for and unqualified for, and yet you have called us in a deep way to simply tell the story that you have done in our lives. And that looks so different for each of us. That is spoken in a different language for each and every one of that. Whether that is showing through signs of encouragement, whether that is sharing a testimony, or whether that's just telling somebody that we love them. Lord, we have an opportunity to tell your story and to share your love and your kingdom with others. And it's so bewildering, it is so confusing, it is so messy, and it is so awkward with the way that you call us to be in this world sometimes, and yet you use us in such an astonishing way. You use us in a grace-filled way, that we might be a sign of the flame and the fire that burns in this world, of something that is greater than all the rumors and all the disappointments, that hope is still alive, that joy is still being born, and that you have promised to always be with us. There is not a one of us who is alone, because, Lord, you have buried yourself within us. Allow us to discover that spark allow us to stir that flame that we might go and to spread it with this world. As we pray all these things in Jesus' name, amen.